Men of God, arise as a PPK, priest, prophet, and king. The priest in you will bring the needs of your family and community to God. The prophet declares the word of God over his family. The king in you governs over all that God has entrusted you with. Join me, Apostle Gerald Benton, as I encourage, lead, and teach men to walk in their God-given kingdom role as a priest, prophet, and king.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another round of PPK Podcast. I pray that you are excited about what is getting ready to be discussed. My God, do you really love your wife? Yeah. So the scenario of how I come up with that one was when me and my wife decided to get married, she asked me a question. She said, what do you think is going to take for us to, you know, be married and stay married? I said, well, what? And I love you. And she kind of looked at me with this face and she said, well, I hope that's not all. And so it kind of took me back, you know, And so we've been married 25 years now, and that conversation still rings loud in my ear, because I realize now that what I said, I really didn't know what love really was and what it was going to take to literally walk in this love. So today I was just looking at something, and I went to 1 Corinthians 13, and everybody, y'all know this one. 1 Corinthians 13, and I'm going to read it out of the Amplified, right? And I'm starting at verse 4. It says, love endures with patience and sincerity. Like, when you decide to get married, all of you people that's getting ready to get married, all you ones that's engaged, I need you to literally come back and look at this scripture. I don't just want you to read it to be reading it. I want you to read it and see if you're dedicated to it, because it's time out for us to be looking at the scripture and not willing to walk this scripture out. And so when I started looking at it, I'm like, patience. Okay, what does patience, what is it going to look like? What is it going to mean? That means I'm going to have to endure something. And can I be patient with my wife? Can I be patient in circumstances when things aren't going the way that I think they should go? Sincerity. Am I being sincere about our life? It's being sincere about our conversation, being sincere about anything that we're dealing with. Will I be sincere with it? And it says, love is kind and thoughtful and is not jealous or envious. Love does not brag and is not proud or arrogant. It is not rude. Gerald, you could put your name in there. It is not self-seeking. It is not provoked, nor overly sensitive or easily angered. It does not take into account a wrong endured. I'm going to stop and pause right there, because I just want to go back. It says love is kind. So you have to really and truly work on these things, because human nature makes you operate in emotions and feelings. And so kindness has to be something that you work on a daily basis. What about the part when it says that and thoughtful? So that means you have to really think about the things that you think about. You have to. It's not jealous. It's not envious. So you can't be jealous of what your spouse knows or how much your spouse knows. You know, I meet a lot of men that are, they're not as seasoned in the walk, in their journey, in salvation, as in Christianity. And their wives have probably been in all their life. And so you start to compare your journey with their journey. You compare what they know with what you know. And then you can fall into a place of jealousy and envious. How do I know? I did it, because my wife was so seasoned. She had her own life before I got there. She had everything that she did. She built her own career. So she was self-sufficient. She really didn't need me. And so being jealous and being envy of that, because I came in with none of that. All I came in with was, I love you. And not realizing that if that's going to be the case, when I decide to say I do, all of these things are now going to come up. And how am I going to handle it? How are you going to handle it? Because it says, you know, love does not brag. It is not proud or arrogant. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not provoking, nor overly sensitive and easily angered. It does not take account of wrong endured. It does not rejoice in injustice, but rejoice in the truth when right and truth prevails. Love bears all things, regardless of what comes, believes all things, looking for the best in each one, hoping all things, remaining steadfast during difficult times, endures all things without weakening. Now, if you don't, you getting ready to get married, and if you are married, and this here is a list of checking where your love meter is. Let's just look at that. Can we look at that to see if we are compliant? Are you compliant to the love list? Are you in compliance with the love list? That's where we want to look at. Because if we're not, then we have to make some adjustments. We truly have to make some adjustments, because what about it does not take account of a wrongdoing? Are you still holding a grudge? Are you still holding your spouse, your wife, to something she did 5 years ago, something she did yesterday, something she did a month ago? Are you holding her to that? Are you holding her accountable to that? It does not rejoice at injustice. You're not rejoicing because something happened to someone. That's not what we do. Love bears all things regardless of what comes. That part right there. Are you ready for that? Are you ready? Whatever comes, it says love bears all things. The last time I looked at all was all. And it says all things, regardless of what comes, believes all things, looking for the good, looking for the best in each one. Do we practice that? Do we practice looking for the best in our spouse? Are we looking for the best, or are we looking for a way out, or are we looking for something that we could use against them? It says, hope all things, remaining steadfast in difficult times. Now, here's the scenario. I wasn't ready for that, because when difficult times hit, I wanted to run. No, I didn't want to run. I did run. I ran, and I tried to get as far away as I could possibly get, because I didn't understand how to be steadfast during difficult times. Are you steadfast in difficult times, or are you that one that you have that running man spirit that, you know, you just want to run? You don't want to be held accountable. You don't want responsibility. You don't want to deal with the circumstances. You don't want to deal with situations, and you just decide to run. I leave you here. You can handle it all by yourself. Yeah, that was me. I did that. But thank God for being a deliverer, that he delivered me from the running man spirit. He delivered me from the little boy spirit. He delivered me from the childish spirit that will cause me to operate in a little boy sense of love. And see, when you really don't know what the meaning of love, and I'm talking about what God is expecting from us in this love. He's not expecting, you know, what we learn from the world, because I learned from the world that love was more about sex than it was about intimacy or trust or patience or kind. That's love. Because think about this. That's what God shows us. He shows us all of these things as individuals. And it's our job to literally represent or copy exactly what he's given us the blueprint. His word is the blueprint. His word is the example of what we're supposed to do. It's the information that an example that we're supposed to follow. Are you following the instructions? Because if you're getting ready to get married or you're thinking about getting married, these are some instructions that you're going to really, truly have to think about. You're going to have to walk these things out. And if you are married, this will be a fine time to go back and reevaluate your love meter. Reevaluate, am I lining up my life? If my love or my life is lining up with 1 Corinthians 13, is it lining up? Because if it's not, you got a good opportunity today. You have a good opportunity this moment to go back and read it and ask God to search your heart. Ask God to find anything that's causing you not to do this. If you are operating in a jealousy, are you operating in envious? Are you not patient? Are you not kind? Because this is a whole lot of knots in here. It is not self-seeking. You can't be selfish. You can't have that me, myself, and I spirit. And think that what you're getting ready to do is going to work. I'm sorry. I stepped on your toes. But guess what? I don't even care. I don't want you to make the same mistake I made. That's why I do what I do and I say what I say. Because the ultimate goal is for us to get better. That's the ultimate goal. I pray that that's your goal. So when we're looking at this scripture and we having to reevaluate how we think about love and how we look at our spouse and how we looking at the our marriage, we have to really and truly put an effort in. How am I going to line my life up with God, especially with this scripture? You know, the one that I was looking at and I was like, whoa, it said it does not take an account of wrong endured. Did you hear that? It says wrong endured, not just wrong, but wrong endured. Like this has been done to you a couple times. And how are you handling it? How are you handling it? Are you holding the person, man? You don't know what she did. Man, I don't want to hear that. I don't have to listen to that. Now you're not being patient. You're not being kind. And you really solidifying that you're going to hold that person, your spouse, you're going to hold them to something that they did. When the Bible tells us that we're supposed to forgive, 70 times seven in a day, but yet and still we're holding someone, our spouse, accountable for a wrong endured. Are you ready to let it go? Are you ready to let it go? Are you ready to literally be set yourself free? Because all of these things are literally causing you to be in bondage. It's causing you to be in bondage. If you're operating in jealousy, you're operating in envy, your thoughts aren't right. You're not thoughtful. You're bragging and you're proud. You know, you're arrogant. You think about it. These things are like cancerous. They really and truly try to derail you, try to kill you, try to slowly take you out the game. That's why I'm saying it does not. Love covers a multitude of sins. So it's covering all of that. But it's the love of God. It's not the love of man. It's the love of God. And so if we don't see the example of the love of God, then how are we going to be representatives of the love of God? How are we going to use the very medicine that we need to cleanse us of all of the knots, the things that we're not to do, and we're finding ourselves doing them? Today is the day that our eyes are being opened. So, Father, remove every scale off of their eye, that they can truly see the hope of their calling, that they can truly see the love that you have shown us through sending your son, Yeshua, to pay the price for our sins. The love that you show us every day when we have an opportunity to wake up and see another day that you have made, an opportunity to get things right, an opportunity to love our spouse differently, an opportunity even to love ourselves differently. So I pray that this moment and this podcast is part of you deciding that you truly want to understand how to love your wife. Because you can say, if I was to ask you if you love her, you're going to tell me yes. Oh, I love my wife. Because if somebody would ask me back then, do I love my wife? I would have been like, yeah, I love my wife. That's a dumb question. But then I start to look at this example of what it's supposed to do. And then I'm like, whoa, can I really and truly be honest and say that I love my wife? Can I truly say that I'm loving my wife like Christ loved the church? Am I truly saying that I'm loving her the way she needs to be loved and what God intended for her to be loved? If I'm not, then I got an opportunity to get it right. So you have an opportunity to get it right. Are you willing to get it right? Remember, day by day, situation by situation, all I expect is for us to get better. That's it. We just get better. Thank you for joining me for PPK Podcast. I'm Apostle Gerald, and I'll see you next time.
Well, thank you for joining me today on the Priest, Prophet, and King Podcast. I hope this message has inspired you to understand and walk in your biblical role of a PPK in your family and community. Men, if you need strategies to help you navigate through hard places in your life,
join me Monday and Wednesday at 8 a.m. for PPK Podcast, The Making of a Kingdom Man,
where men from all over the world come to talk strategies with the Word of God being our foundation. You can go to our website, ppkglobal.org, for more information. If you need accountability, training, and mentoring, check out our King's Army, training men to walk in their divine position as heads of the family, God's way. Listen, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast of your favorite platform so you never miss an episode. I would love to hear from you, so please leave me a review and send me your thoughts and questions. You can also follow me on Facebook, PPK, Priest, Prophet, and King, IG, PPK Global, Spotify, Apple Music, for more updates and information. I will be back next week with more insight into the recipe of a kingdom man. Until then, remember, day by day, situation by situation, we have to get better. I pray you continue to be blessed in your journey as a priest, prophet, and king. See you next week.